بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، respected elders and dear brothers, yesterday we had mentioned that whenever the Quran was recited to the mushrikeen of Makkah Mukarrama, then they would ask Nabi عليه الصلاة والسلام to amend the verses of the Quran or to bring a new Quran altogether, something in which they were able to hear what they wanted to hear, in which there was no rebuke, no reproach of them, of their idols, etc. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam had responded by saying that this is not within my control. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wishes, Allah will send down certain verses, and I am merely a messenger. And now Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, to conclude that discussion, says, فَمَنْ أَظْلَمُ مِمَّنِ افْتَرَى عَلَى اللَّهِ كَذِبًا أَوْ كَذَّبَ بِآيَاتِهِ, that who can be more oppressive and unjust than one who fabricates a lie against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or one who rejects the verses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In other words, if I have to alter or amend the Quran, this would be fabrication, and this would render me from amongst the most oppressive, most unjust people. إِنَّهُ لَا يُفْلِحُ الْمُجْرِمُونَ, and the transgressors will never attain success. So if I have to transgress in this manner, then I will be from those who do not attain success, and you too will not be successful. So in this way, he categorically shows to them or tells them that I am not willing to alter the Quran, to distort the Quran. It's either you accept what is being revealed or you reject it. If you reject it, you will have to face the consequences in the hereafter. And then pointing out their own belief system, the next verse now mentions, وَيَعْبُدُونَ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ مَا لَا يَضُرُّهُمْ وَلَا يَنْفَعُهُمْ, that these people worship such entities besides Allah that cannot bring any harm to them, nor can these entities bring any benefit to them. وَيَقُولُونَ, and they then make the claim that هَؤُلَاءِ شُفَعَاءُنَا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ, these idols or these entities that we worship will intercede on our behalf in the court of Allah. So in this world they recognize that these entities cannot benefit them, cannot harm them, but they still claim that they will intercede on behalf of us in the court of Allah on the day of Qiyamah, and that these idols or these entities will come to our rescue. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is informed or is instructed to ask them, قُلْ, ask them, أَتُنَبِّئُونَ اللَّهَ بِمَا لَا يَعْلَمُ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَلَا فِي الْأَرْضِ, that you are claiming that these things are your deities, the partners of Allah. Are you trying to inform Allah of something that He does not have knowledge of in the skies and the earth? Allah is the creator of the samawat, of the ard, the skies, the earth, and everything else. And therefore, if there were any partners or any other beings worthy of worship, of course it would have been within the knowledge of Allah. So are you trying to inform Allah of something that He does not know? Subhanahu wa ta'ala amma yushrikun. Allah is free from all defects, from all faults, and Allah is lofty and exalted above what they ascribe to Him. Allah does not need partners. Allah does not need anyone else besides Him, any other entity to share worship and servitude with. Rather, Allah is the sole creator, the sole being, sole deity worthy of worship. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions a very important point, that when it comes to shirk, when it comes to the ascribing of partners with Allah, this was something that only came about at a later stage in humanity. The first approximately 10 generations of humanity did not have any shirk. It was purely tawheed, monotheism, worship in the oneness of Allah subhanahu, or belief in the oneness of Allah. Yes, there were people who perhaps went astray or carried out evil deeds, but as far as their belief system was concerned, every single human being was upon tawheed. So Allah mentions, وَمَا كَانَ النَّاسُ إِلَّا أُمَّةً وَاحِدَةً فَاخْتَلَفُوا, that mankind was one community, and later on differences emerged. And here Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhumah mentions that mankind being one community refers to 10 generations from the time of Nabi Adam alayhi salatu wasalam till the time of Nabi Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam, approximately 10 generations, where everybody was upon monotheism. And then only at the time of Nabi Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam, this is where the idea of shirk, of ascribing partners to Allah, developed, and people then started going down this path. And of course, thereafter, other Anbiya alayhimus salatu wasalam had come, etc. But in the first 10 or so generations of humankind, there was no shirk, no ascribing of partners with Allah. And therefore Allah calls mankind one ummah, one community, one nation. Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahimahullah mentions under this verse, he says that in these 10 generations, mankind would have spread out to different locations. There would have perhaps been a change in language. There may have been a change in race as well, because it was 10 generations and people had spread out. Of course, in those days, people would have many children, much more than in today's time, for the necessity of procreation. And he mentions, despite all of these differences, different geographical locations, different race, different languages, Allah still refers to everyone as one ummah, one nation. So from this he proves that in Islam, barriers are not on the basis of race or language or location, but the barriers are the barriers of iman and kufr. Once shirk came about and developed, now Allah says, فَاخْتَلَفُوا, this ummah now fragmented and broke up into different portions and different parts. وَلَوْلَا كَلِمَةٌ سَبَقَتْ مِنْ رَبِّكَ لَقُضِيَ بَيْنَهُمْ فِي مَا فِيهِ يَخْتَلِفُونَ. Allah says, had it not been for a decree that I had already passed from your Rabb, and that decree referring to the delay of the punishment, had it not been for this decree, then judgment would have been passed amongst them already in the differences that they had. Allah would have destroyed the people of shirk and preserved the people of iman. But of course, the decision of Allah is that the punishment will be deferred and delayed. وَيَقُولُونَ لَوْلَا أُنزِلَ عَلَيْهِ آيَةٌ مِّن رَبِّهِ. And the mushrikeen of Makkah then ask that why doesn't a sign come to him from his Rabb? Some sign that we want, something that we are asking for. Why doesn't Allah send that specific sign to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? فَقُلْ إِنَّمَا الْغَيْبُ لِلَّهِ. So say to them that control of the unseen is Allah's prerogative. Allah will administer the matters of the unseen. So if you want some particular sign, فَانْتَظِرُوا, then you wait. إِنِّي مَعَكُمْ مِنَ الْمُنْتَظِرِينَ, I will also wait with you. In other words, you wait and see, the punishment will eventually come and destroy you, and I will also wait until the punishment comes and destroys you, and I will then be saved, and those who follow me will be saved. Allah give us tawfiq and understanding. وَآخِرُ دَعْوَانَا الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ